Our next storyteller is somebody I have known and worked with for at least 30 years, possibly more, Armand Serbonne. This is not on the list, but Armand's work on behalf of our community is in an area that many of us don't even know was important. And so you may not know that up until a particular moment, millions, in fact, all of us were quote unquote mentally ill because we were listed that way by the American Psychological Association. Armand and some of his brave, outspoken allies got that changed so that we were no longer viewed. Armand, forgive me for jumping right into that. It's thrilling. Okay. All right. Armand has been providing affirmative psychotherapy as a psychologist to the LGBTQ community since 1978 and through the HIV/AIDS crisis. He co-authored the first and second iterations of the American Psychological Association's Guidelines for Working with LGB Clients in Psychotherapy. He chaired the first international conference on LGBT mental health and policy, as well as the APA working group that developed its policy, demonstrating that research data that the only reason to deny benefits of marriage to same-sex couples and families was discrimination. The California Supreme Court, the U.S. Appeals Court, after it, and the U.S. Supreme Court all cited the APA's research in legalizing same-sex marriage. He's a 2003 inductee into the Chicago Gay and Lesbian Hall of Fame. And Armand, when he believes in something, he believes. When he discovered Outspoken, I can't keep him away from here. Armand, come on up here.
Thank you for those really kind words, Art. And thank you all for coming. Late in her memoir, Becoming, Michelle Obama writes, so many of us go through life with our stories hidden, feeling ashamed or afraid when our whole truth doesn't live up to some established ideal. We grow up with messages that tell us that there's only one way to be an American, that if our skin is dark or our hips are wide, if we don't experience love in a particular way, if we speak another language or come from another country, then we don't belong. That is, until someone dares to start telling that story differently. Like Michelle, I believe in the power of our stories to remind us of the humanity we share, to make each of us feel we belong. And so I am especially thankful to Sidetracks, to Art and Pepe and their staff for creating this forum for belonging. Here, in this place, we all belong. And so I hope you will recognize something of yourselves in my story as I have recognized in your stories something of myself. This is a love story, though not the love of one woman for another, or one man for another, or even one woman for a man. But it is a love story nonetheless. It is about the first love we experience, that is, the love between parent and child. It is a love that provides and first defines what it means to belong. And because this is a coming out story, it's also about the power of love to transform self and transform another. So come with me, if you will, while I tell you the story of coming out to my mother. One note about the woman who is my mother. it may help you to understand my story better. In one of our discussions over evening dinner, I suggested to her that she was caught between two very different generations of women. The earlier generation of women saw themselves in their job and life to remain largely subordinate to and supportive of the world of men. The later generation of women were more assertive and independent of mind. She agreed that I had captured her plight accurately. Though I didn't say so at the time, I saw her as ambivalent about both. Consequently, my mother would support assertive women and be assertive herself sometimes, and sometimes subordinate herself to the will and wishes of the men in her life. You just never knew which woman you would encounter. It is the first Saturday night after New Year's in 1981. I am 38. In Pompano Beach, Florida, where my mother and Eddie, my stepdad, have retired. I will be returning to Chicago and work tomorrow, and I have determined to tell my mother that I am gay. I have been out to friends and colleagues for several years in Chicago, but in my extended Italian family, out to my brother and his wife only. I have been living with my first partner for more than 4 years. I have allowed my mother and Eddie to believe Larry and I were just good friends. It is time, for a lot of reasons, not the least of which is that by this time I had accepted my homosexuality and accepted that homosexuality was not my problem. My problem was people who had a problem with homosexuality. And mind you, I had been in a conversion therapy for 5 years to remedy my anxiety disorder and depression by making me straight. But that's another story. By the time of this story, I was angry and no longer ashamed and depressed. Nonetheless, I still feared the reprisals I saw others suffer. And yes, that is another story. We have just finished dinner and are sitting at the small table in their small kitchen in their small condo. Mom is to my left, Eddie to my right. Before we rise to clear and wash the dishes, I say, "Mom, I have something to tell you. I am gay and Larry and I are lovers." A moment's silence before she looks at me and says, "Don't you think I knew? But I'm shocked." You laugh. Many have when I've told the story, but not I. I knew this woman. The first part of that is for me, I tell her. The second part is for your family and friends. I have seen you defend members of our family who broke some unwritten code, even when others criticize them. And I have seen you turn on others in the family who've done the same. You are my mother. I expect the first. If I get the latter, I will shut a door on this relationship because I have learned that I have to if I am to survive. She responds, "Then I would never be happy another day in my life." "Then you have your choice to make." The next afternoon, we are sitting on the patio overlooking the community pool. I will be heading to the airport right after Eddie and she leave for a formal dinner. Mom is painting her nails to match her salmon-colored gown. Letting her nails dry and looking away from me, she says as though thinking out loud, "I wish it weren't so, and I wished I didn't know." I think to myself that she has made her choice. I get up and go into the living room and sit in a chair. Beyond the patio, the sky had darkened to match my mood. Nails dry now, Mom comes in from the patio without looking at me, but flatly and firmly says, I never want to see you and Larry hug or sleep together under this roof again. Outside, the sky rumbles. When will you be back? She asks. I don't know. Easter? I don't know. Sometime in the spring? I don't know. Realizing what I am meaning, she stops, starts crying, and stamping her foot repeatedly says, don't do this to me. Outside, the blackened sky lets loose a volley of thunder and lightning. It barely matches the fireworks in our living room. In the master bedroom off the living room, I hear Eddie nervously rattling the change in his pocket. Irishman that he is, he knows enough to let us Italians alone with this drama. How can I come back when you tell me I can no longer hug the man I love? Now sitting across from me, she protests. I love you. I would love you if you were a murderer or a rapist. Really? Really, what a triumph for mother love. If I were a murderer or a rapist, but gay, that's way too much. More thunder, then the drenching downpour it promised. As she leaves the room to get her wrap, still hurt and angry, I say to her back, I just tell you what you say you have always known, and you tell me that I cannot hug Larry in your presence. What? Am I supposed to twist what's real into a pretzel so you can pretend to others that I'm straight? Why should you get to deny what's true? This doesn't feel like love to me. Then you don't know what love is. I know it's not supposed to hurt like this. She and Eddie leave for their dinner. I finish packing and leave. For my mother and me, that storm was just the opening volley. It is now 3 years later. My brother Vinny calls from Boston to tell me that Mom had just told him that I had brought shame on the family. I just thought you should know. Thanking him for his support, I hang up and immediately dial my mother in Florida. Vinny just told me that you said I had brought shame on our family. Well, this family? I have brought shame on this family? We have drug dealers who've done time, adulterers and a bigamist, wife beaters, cheaters, and thieves. But I have brought shame on us just by being gay. Well, God didn't make people gay. Oh, so now you are going to tell me you know the mind of God and that God didn't make me. Well, people have hated gays for centuries. I don't know what books you're reading, but they aren't the ones I've been reading. And maybe, just maybe, the real problem is people who hate gays. Your father would never have accepted your being gay. Don't tell me what my dead father would do. If he were alive, we would have to fight it out as you and I are. I can give you time. God knows it's taken me more than 30 years to accept myself. But I cannot live in a relationship with someone who is ashamed of me. 2 more years later, it's now been 5 years that we have argued back and forth as only immigrant Italians and their progeny can. I am in Pompano again. Mom and Eddie and I have finished another dinner and are watching TV in the den off the kitchen. Mom is in her PJs, putting her hair up in pin curls as she does every night. Something on TV makes Eddie ask me, don't you think you got your values from the church and your parents? Eddie, sometimes I think I got my values despite my parents and the church. Yes, but don't you think you got them from the church and your parents? Each time he asks, my answer remains the same. The fifth time he asks, my mother says, Eddie, he's answered your question. She turns to me and says, you are a rare and beautiful man. I am stunned. but not speechless. You've changed. You're damned right I have, and I didn't think I could. I knew you could. You know, we damn near lost this relationship over this. Yes, we did. And I would never have been happy another day in my life. Then you've made your choice. Almost 15 years later, I would spend the last 3 weeks of her life by her bedside while cancer ate her pancreas and sucked up her life like a thirsty sponge. Death at the door, we talked freely and frankly. The strength of our bond was very much felt by both of us. I don't know why I gave you such trouble. I wish I had 13 more like you. We both know why, Mom. You had to choose between your need for the respect of others and your love for your son. I will miss you, Mom. Oh, she said, and I will miss you. On the last page of her memoir, Michelle Obama writes, "There's a power in allowing yourself to be known and heard, in owning your unique story, in using your authentic voice, and there's a grace in being willing to know and hear others. This, for me, is how we become. Stories do more than allow us to be known. Their real power lies in the challenge they present to us and to others to become more, more to self and more to others." Thank you.
T-shirt. Thank you for introducing us to your mother and bringing her back to life for this this little period of time. I think we all enjoyed meeting her.
Thank you. This is the best part. Excuse me.